All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the DFO Rundown Podcast with Frank Saravalli and Jason Greger on dailyfaceoff.com.
Welcome to episode 277 of the DFO Rundown, brought to you by Betano.ca. Hopefully a few of your prop bets hit. Did you have a non-quarterback throwing a touchdown pass? You did? Ka-ching.
So, did you?
I did. Our fantasy league did. Yeah, it was
a big a humble brag.
$28, man. You know what $28 turned into on that? $1,044.
Nice.
Yeah. So, obviously, we had a lot of other ones that didn't win, but that one made up for everything. So, it's all
I was
good.
Touching a couple squares on our block pool. We have like a massive block pool.
Yeah,
and I never win those. Well, one square paid $11,200.
What?
Yeah. To win, if you landed, if you're each quarter. Each square paid $11,200. It was a season long pool. And if you're just touching a pool, touching the square that won the quarter, you got $400. Well, since there was the same score two quarters in a row, I was neighboring the winning square for two quarters. So I got $800.
Well, there you go.
Which nice. covered the season entry fee.
Yeah. Wow. Well, sounds like it. So I don't think you can play squares at Betano.ca, but you can play NHL games.
You should.
Yeah, you should. The Betano. Maybe we'll have to talk to him next year. We'll have a daily face-off square pool game. I think people will be all over it. So NHL, of course, heats up Tuesday, Thursdays this week. If you're looking for some action. And hey, can the Calgary Flames sweep their road trip tonight in New York? Check it out at Betano.ca. I'm Jason Greger. He is Frank Saravalli. Another busy weekend in the National Hockey League. Of course, you had the Super Bowl, the Chiefs. Winning, they have now won three of the last five. They've been in four of the last five. I think it's safe. No NFL team has ever won three in a row, so it's safe to say you'd call them a dynasty by the NFL standards, which makes sense. And we'll see what happens there.
Right, I don't care about the game. Tell me what was the spread like in the Greger household last night?
You know what? We have the annual nachos with lots of cheese, like fresh chicken on half. And then my son's a big beef guy, so he has fresh beef on the other half. Lots of guac. Like
steak or ground beef?
No, actually, it's ground bison.
Ground bison. Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's nice.
That's a healthy selection. So how here's the key for me with nachos, and this is coming from someone who, if I get the microphone close enough, you can hear my arteries clogging. But if... At any point, as you're in your nacho pile, can you pick out a clean chip?
No, dude, I am a very...
That's the rule.
Yeah, I'm kind of anal when it comes to spreading out the cheese. Because there's nothing worse than you get a chip. I'm like, well, I don't want just a chip. I want cheese on my chip. So yeah,
He's anal about spreading cheese, everyone.
Yeah, that's right. My wife always jokes about it because she'll have doing it. I'm like, no. You got to do a little bit of layer. Then you put some cheese. Then you put a few more chips on. Then you put more cheese. So
what other toppings do you have? Because this is another true determinant.
Well, no tomatoes. I can't eat tomatoes anymore. So, the beef half does. I guess the chicken doesn't. But the beef, the bison has some tomatoes. And then we have guacamole. My wife makes this homemade tomato dip sauce that her and my son like. And then actually, I don't use sour cream. I just use Greek yogurt because it's basically the same and better for you. So.
And what else do you use? Like peppers, black olives, nothing?
No, we have a bunch of fresh veggies on the side, but my son doesn't. He's not old enough yet to appreciate them on the taco, so it's just less of a battle.
Don't worry, you never will be, buddy.
Yeah. So that's about it. And then a few drinks and rock and roll. That's it.
You just had nachos?
We have two plates of nachos, so you don't really honestly. By the time I'm done, I'm like, oof, I've overeaten again. But yeah, nachos and veggies. That's pretty much all we do.
All right, so last night we had a tray of 75 wings.
Ooh.
Then, those were mild. We also had a small order of honey barbecue, which is always a nice hit. We had an order of pub tenders, which are just like boneless wings, but the sauce is half buffalo, half ranch. So it's like a buff of ranch situation, which is...
Wow.
Chef's kiss. And then we had some cheesesteaks and some chips and dip.
Well, you obviously had more than just the Saravalli family out.
Yeah, we had my in-laws over.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So yeah. There'll be a lot of food for four people. So
no, we had nine.
Okay. Well, there you go. That makes sense.
Ten. So it was but still. There wasn't many wings left over on that 75 tray. I'll tell you that much.
Who were you guys rooting for?
This was a hard Super Bowl for me to watch because I don't really like either team. The Chiefs, what they did last night is basically what they did to the Eagles 1 year ago, down 10 at halftime and come back. And the only difference is Mahomes wasn't limping off the field this time at halftime.
That's true.
And... the Niners, like the way they cried last year after losing to the Eagles in the NFC Championship game, Brock Purdy hurts his elbow and everyone's like, oh man, but if everyone was healthy, we would have crushed you. They talked a lot of smack. And then the problem is they came into Philly this year and absolutely walloped the Eagles. And so I don't really like either team, to be honest. So it was a bit of a tough watch.
That's fair.
I was rooting for my square. That's what I was rooting for. 11,200.
What did
and I had good numbers too. I had 3-1, which are definitely not bad numbers to have.
Yeah, no, that's not bad. I've never wanted square. I always get the crap numbers. I had 9, and I think I had 6 or something. And 6, I know, it ended up for a while there. It looked like you had a chance.
Nothing's worse than 5.
No. Well, 5-1, though.
Yeah, but that's only because if it was in regulation time, they would have kicked the extra point. It's exactly. 5 is typically a very shitty number to have.
Yeah. Well, normally so is 6, but hey, they won it last night. So good for them. What did you think of the halftime show?
I thought Usher was good. I love the way that they brought in other acts, Ludacris and whoever else. I thought the,
Alicia Keys.
Yeah. I thought the roller blades. Yeah. Where'd that come from?
That was sick. Buddy, like those, the guys,
I was trying to think how long you think he was practicing for that.
Yeah, I don't know.
And how many hockey people around the world were like, oh my God, this guy's going to eat it at some point.
what about the one guy? Like, to me, I'm always amazed by the backup singers and dancers. Like the one guy comes on stage and first thing he's doing is a 360 front flip on the rollerblades. And like, all right, now this guy, that's a guy who at parties is going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, I thought Usher, you forget how good of a dancer that guy is. He has got some smooth moves. Yeah, like, whew. So I liked the show. I thought it was entertaining.
I mean, I don't know, Batano or whoever, someone should have been taking odds on whether Usher took his shirt off or not, because that was a damn near lock that was going to happen.
Yeah, I know. He takes his shirt off. He's got like the biggest. I'm always, I respect the guys who do it, but I'm always like, it's like the biggest chain ever. How do you really wear that thing around all the time? I'm always like, I don't know. It's kind of odd.
Oh my God. That's so funny that you just said that. And by the way, I kind of felt bad for him as one heavy sweating man to another. I was like, oh, poor guy. He's just dying.
Oh,
it's like that's what I look like getting out of bed in the morning.
Well, they had the ode to Ben Stiller in freaking Rollerball when they came out in the purple unis. I was pretty sweet. I can't remember the team name of them, but I'm not that big of a fan, but I always thought it was hilarious. And Dodgeball is classic. So overall, I thought it was good. Obviously, it was a great finish. You know, if you're a 49er fan, you won't like it, but overall was pretty good championship game, I would think, for the NFL. And now, you know what? How about the fact, Frank, as you're watching, you're probably like, oh, my God, the Chiefs basically won the game on the exact same play they beat the Eagles on last year, where they call it Corn Dog. So shout out to Corn Dog. That's the play for the Chiefs 2 years in a row in the championship game.
Crazy. What a game.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that great until the end.
It's true. Yeah, it wasn't. The first half was far from stellar. Now, on the weekend, Frank, the big story in the NHL, and we're going to get into it. And I guess, first of all, Ottawa, Toronto, of course, it ends with, you know, the empty netter. Ridly Gregg comes in. Hey, you know what? I have no issue with what he did. I also understand why Morgan Rielly reacted. Morgan Rielly, like, you don't cross-check a guy in the head. That, to me, if Morgan Rielly just came in there, dropped his gloves, whatever, dropped the stick, he wouldn't be suspended. But it wasn't smart how he went after him. But the minute you take that slap shot, Ridly knows what's coming. All these people in Ottawa claiming he did nothing wrong, you're clueless. Like, give me a break. Take your Ottawa Senator Kool-Aid colored glasses off and realize that that is a complete agitating move. I don't mind that he did it, but pretending that, well, nothing should happen is delusional.
Agree. And I would say I loved every part of the sequence. And I would say, in fact, the league needs more of it. And so people are gonna be like, oh, what? This guy is an absolute Neanderthal. He wants people to get cross-checked in the face. No, that's not what I'm saying. My point is, I love the emotion from Ridly Gregg. I love the slap shot. I love the theater, the entertainment of it. Do you guys watch WWE? Like, this is how it works. You take a slap shot into an empty net. But to your point, he knew what he was doing. And he had to be ready for it because it was coming. And I think if they could change it, just, I mean, this is going to, again, sound like a Neanderthal, but just punch him in the head. You don't need to cross-check him in the face with your stick. And you don't need to use your stick. Just grab him.
And he didn't even hit him that hard. Let's be honest here. Like, he went down like a sack of hammers. Like, that's, trust me, like, everybody can go watch that.
That was the disappointing part, was the turtle at the end.
Yeah, like... to me, it's the biggest unfortunate part is they don't play again this year.
Yeah.
Because that would be awesome theater. Trust me, everybody around. And that's what the NHL needs more of. Like, you look at the NBA, you know, people like, oh, like, I saw someone try to compare, well, the NBA has windmill dunks. I'm like, yeah, at the end of a game, if you're up and someone comes in and windmill dunks, trust me, you're getting chirped at. The NBA is the ultimate trash talking sport. They're in guys' face every time and someone's trying to compare it different. They'll try to fight. They're not great at it. But there's all sorts of drama all the time. The NHL will go months with really no drama. And you need a little drama every now and then. No one got hurt. It looked bad. So, yeah, he's going to get suspended. I think it's going to be ridiculous if he ends up getting more games than Brandon Gallagher, who chicken winged a guy way more dangerous. Out with a damn suspension. Ridly Gregg isn't going to miss a shift, for goodness sakes. And people are saying this is worse. Like, what the hell is going on?
I'm with you. Is it okay to like both things? Like, is it okay to like that Ridly Gregg took the slap shot and that Morgan Rielly responded?
Yeah, I think the shot's great. I love a little agitating move. I don't mind that Gregg did it. But when he does,
I grew up in the era of Matthew Barnaby. Like, it was can't miss television.
Like, the last time I remember that was when Ryan Kesler did it against the Calgary Flames. And what happened there? The Calgary Flames. And there ended up actually being a few scraps right afterwards.
Yeah, but the difference is he didn't cross-check him in the face.
No, you're right. But the other difference is, Frank, when they hit Kesler turned around and went right back at him. Like, well, that's where, to me, Gregg, the only thing...
He should have just been ready. He should have just turned around and been ready for a scrum.
You turn around and you have... you're ready? Here we go. I would have
loved, if you're going to do that, you got to be ready.
The crowd would have loved it. Everybody likes it. All of these, oh my goodness, people trying to pretend that Gregg did nothing wrong. Give me a break.
Well, and then there's the other people that are like, oh, Morgan Rielly needs 10 games.
Yeah.
Like, what? Please. Like, how's that possible?
No, it is like on, and the fact that now they have they in, I've seen varying reports, Frank, but like the fact that he's going to get the same, if not more, than Brandon Gallagher to me is it's the biggest disgrace if that's actually what happens.
Well, that's
in the
not
NHL.
Necessarily going to be the case. We don't know. The hearing is Tuesday afternoon in New York. We don't know what kind of case Morgan Riley is going to present. And we also don't know what the leanings are of the Department of Player Safety for what many would view as an agitating play.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yeah. People in Ottawa, we've seen say, well, but you can score into the net any way you want. Doesn't mean you should get retribution for it. On paper, yes, but in practicality, no. And I think this is just my personal guess. I think he's going to end up at 5.
Yeah. So that's the same as Gallagher.
But I think the comparison is David Perron from a few weeks back where.
But Perron cross-checked a guy who didn't do anything.
Well, that's going to be the direct comp is another cross-check to the head.
Yeah.
And when you do that, you have to stack it up with recent precedent, right? And Perron did it to a guy that was the wrong guy and in response to a hit in which he thought that his teammate was hurt. So that's sort of, to me, the bar. And I know you want to link the Brendan Gallagher hit to this, but it's not applicable in any way, and that's not how they would look at it.
No, I'm not saying the plays themselves are the same. I'm just saying
you can't compare the suspensions then, is my point. They're not the same thing. But I agree with you. Like the chicken wing, there's no room for that type of hit in today's game anymore. That should have been a way lengthier suspension. But because it was 5, they didn't. What it saved them from was the process of appeal.
Yeah, I guess.
But the whole system's broken. We've said this before.
Yeah, like they didn't even make it though that it was in person, right? So that's, I don't know. I look at the play, when I look at which one is a more dangerous play standalone, I think we'd all agree that Gallagher play is way more dangerous.
Yes.
Yeah, so. But the Leafs, hey, if Riley's gone 5 games, gone 6, all of a sudden the Leafs, they are far from being in a super comfortable position. They're not an awful position, but, you know, they're the first wildcard team. They're only 1 point back of Tampa. But really, Frank, there's going to be 4 playoff spots up for grabs in the East here, the playoff race, which is good. The final 32-plus games here are 32 or less for depending on the team. You got Toronto, Tampa, Detroit are all battling for 3rd place. In the Atlantic.
Maybe this is just what they need.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Like, think back to last year. Big Walt Kachuk kind of rips them on radio. The Panthers, and then they go on a run. Sometimes it takes a little bit of negativity to spice it up. A little bit of angst, a little defensive posture. You have your teammates sticking up for you. Now you got to go bail them out.
Oh, yeah, he's their best defenseman too. So that's it's going to be a tough one for the Leafs, no question. But you're right. Maybe this is something that kind of
a galvanizing measure.
I wouldn't
be surprised to see it because you know they're going to have to tighten things up with him out of the lineup.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. So
they need some help from their goaltending again. Like we're back into that same kind of conversation where this hasn't been great.
No, like Martin Jones, when you watch that game against Ottawa, 2 of the goals, you're kind of like, well, that's the Martin Jones from the last few years, right? Like Martin Jones was on a heater early on and that was great. But ultimately, I think Samsonov and then if Wall comes back, those are the 2 guys and that's what the 2 guys are going to need, right?
Yeah, but like, so Martin Jones now, this is the last month.
Yeah.
1-4-1, .860 save percentage.
Yeah.
So everyone kind of thought Samsonov came back. Okay. He found his game a little bit and he's kind of struggling again. I mean, sample size is a little bit limited, but the last 2 games, not great. 1-1 with an .883. That suddenly those questions are back. I mean, they need a They need a Joe Wall return from injury.
Oh, yeah. And, well, they're just going to need to play better, because if you look at three of their next four games, they got St. Louis, who's playing very well. They got the Philadelphia Flyers, who John Tortorella almost basically scripted this. He said, hey, we didn't have a lot of practice time. We're pretty tired before the break. They lost five in a row. We'll be better. They come out. They've won three in a row now. And, you know, they kind of look like the team prior to that five-game losing streak. The Ducks are right now kind of the free space in the bingo card. And then they got the Blues again. So, you know, four, three of those four without Rylan. If he gets to five, it's Arizona. If he gets to six, it's Vegas. So, you know what? They're gonna, it's a tough skid here against some teams, specifically the Blues and the Flyers, who are playing well. Don't count out my Blues, Frankie. A few weeks ago, look at St. Louis. They're rolling. And so are the Red Wings. Hey, let's talk about the Red Wings. The Red Wings went on a skid, and now they're 10-2-2 in their last 14 games and have really, you know, kind of saved their season, I would say, and kept it close. What do you think Steve Yzerman's thinking in Detroit? Just a little tweak. He's probably going to add something to the deadline for his team, is he not?
I mean, I think they're knocking right on the door of that, right? Patrick Kane, he comes back. That's kind of a almost like a trade deadline addition in and of itself. But they've had maybe one of the most inconsistent seasons that I can remember. Like, they started off really well, and their run through, you know, December was so bad.
Yeah.
And now they've kind of righted the ship again. I mean, how often do you see teams go on wild swings like that?
Well, and the funny thing, and it's reflective, it's funny, now they're winning, Frank, but the guy who was red hot to start the year, Alex DeBrincat, has gone cold as ice for Detroit. Like, they're winning without him. He has, I think he's got one goal in his last 20 games or something. Like, he's been MIA offensively for them. Like, yet they're still winning. And so you got to think if eventually he wakes up again, that could only help him.
So month of December, they went 4-9-1. Since then, they're 9 in the new year. They're 9-2-2.
Oh, yeah.
How does that? It's like they're almost the inverse of each other. How do you have that prolonged a stretch where you can't get out of your own way? And now you can't lose, and they've beaten some good teams along the way. They lose to the Oilers in the middle of the Oilers streak in OT. They beat the Panthers. They beat the Leafs. They beat the Lightning. They beat the Golden Knights, the Canucks. I mean, they've beaten some good teams along the way.
Oh, yeah. And I should say it's one goal in 15 games for DeBrincat. So not 20. Don't want to make it worse than it is for him. But still, that's a pretty long drought for your, at the time, was your leading goal scorer.
How aggressive would you be, though, if you're Steve Yzerman? That's the question. Is it like
100%.
A small ad? Or are you thinking like seismic?
No, I don't think it's seismic for a few reasons. Sometimes when you go seismic, it can really disrupt your chemistry. I think you have to weigh that really close as a team to understand your room and where guys are going to fit in. Number two, they're playing pretty well right now. So I think it's probably just, you know, an addition of a player, right? To look and say, hey, where's one position? You know, everybody always needs defense, but I don't think there's any debate on that. But, you know, is there a defenseman that works for them, or do they just want to add another good depth guy to help out on their forward group? I would guess.
I think they've got enough depth, if you ask me. Like,
yeah,
they've got. And by the way, Jake Walman up to 11 goals on the season. They've got 10 double digit goal scorers this season. 10 already. We're only 51 games in. 10 double digit goal scorers.
No.
Yeah. I don't think they need more depth. I think, if anything, they need more difference makers.
Like a top end guy. Yeah.
Well, I just don't know if that's something you go out and solve now. I think you wait until the offseason.
Possibly. And they might just do nothing, right? And but I don't know. Usually I find like one tweak. But you could be right, Frank. Like, you know, the one thing, they got cap space. That's their advantage, right? So, you know, I think there's going to be some guys out there that are available, Frank, that you're not going to have to pay a whole bunch to get, I think, when it's all said and done. I think
can we give Alex Lyon some flowers too? I mean, last year helps the Panthers into the playoffs, is their game one starter, goes to free agency and earns basically a league minimum deal, slightly north of that, because people are like, ah, not sure that this guy could do it. And he's totally saved the Red Wings season.
Oh, God, yeah. Right, it's not even close. Like, if you compare his numbers to Husso and James Reimer, and like, and those two have combined for 28 starts, he started 22 games, and he's got a 921, and those two have a 893. Like, that is a massive difference behind the exact same team, Frank, that one guy's a 921 in 22 games, and the other two are combined 893 in 28 games. So,
and what's the correlation is, he barely played in December. He played five games in December. We just talked about their 4-9-1 run.
Yeah.
He's played the bulk of the games in the new year. 13 games since January 2nd, 9-2-2 with a 922.
Yes. And look, and so it's great that you say 922, because that's basically what he's been all year, right? Like, that's to me a great sign of consistency. He's been the same guy virtually all year long. It's not like he had a 940 for 2 weeks and then, you know, it was 910. Like, he's been
He hasn't had a Cam Talbot season.
No, not at all. So
tough for Cam. It was such a great start.
Yeah. Well, hey, the speaking of goaltending in LA, Dave Rittich posted a shuttle. You look at Dave Rittich's numbers. To me, he's become the starter in LA right now. And I think Jim Hiller, by coming out of the break, actions always speak louder than words, Frank. And I think that Dave Rittich, for the time being, is going to be the starter in LA.
Makes sense to me. I don't think they have any choice but to go with a pure meritocracy.
Yeah, you have to. Like, he's just simply been better. Like, you know what? Maybe he's not, you know, starting 7 out of 10, but at least he should be starting 6 out of 10, no question.
For how long, though? That's my question.
Well, hey,
there's no, I'm sorry, to me, and look, LA's had a couple good goaltending stories, and Copley last year was one of them. But I think if you're trying to go into this playoff run thinking that Dave Rittich is going to be the guy, I don't think that's the case. I think we have enough history to know that that's a very unlikely outcome, is that he's going to help you win in the end, in the long run. A small sample size to get your team back in the mix, fine. But is he really the answer to try and win playoff rounds? He's made a total of 10 starts this year.
Yeah, I guess when I look at Dave Rittich, and he reminds me a lot of Aiden Hill last year. Right, he's in a pretty good
system. Yeah, if you're listening and not watching, I'm rolling my eyes right now. Go ahead.
Yeah, but how is he not? Look at Aiden Hill up until the point in Vegas. He had been an okay goalie, never great, right? And now Aiden Hill, ever since, like, Aiden Hill's elite right now. Like, if Aiden Hill hadn't got injured, he'd be in the Vezina Trophy conversation without question in my mind. I'm not saying Rittich is that good, but last year Aiden Hill wasn't a Vezina Trophy guy. But he got an opportunity in a good environment. LA is still a pretty good goaltending environment, as far as they don't give up a boatload of quality chances. They're predictable from a goaltender on where the shots are coming from. That can make it easier for you.
That I just don't agree with your premise. Aiden Hill, before last season, and he stepped into Vegas, he had a career 9-11 save percentage in 70 NHL games played. He was always good, just didn't get the shot.
Yeah, and Rittich is 906. Like, it's not like it's way off. No, 906 but 9-11.
Okay, so let's look at David Rittich, his last three full seasons, which also included it stops in Calgary, Toronto, Nashville, and Winnipeg. 57 games played, 896 save percentage. That's well below league average.
Yeah, but you look at his numbers when he plays more.
Aiden Hill has never had a run like that in his career.
Yeah, but he's never played. Look at Rittich's numbers when he's the guy in 1920 when he's playing 90 games and he's got a 910. He's okay, better when he plays more.
Teams gave him opportunities. Toronto brought him in. Didn't work. Nashville brought him in. No good. Winnipeg last year. There's a reason why he's moved on year after year.
Well, Toronto was four games, man. Like, I'm not going to.
Okay, but he was a deadline acquisition, was he not?
Yeah, so he was there as a backup, not to be their starter, right?
Well, he was in LA this year to be their third guy, which is where he had played himself to in his career. Adin Hill has never been that guy.
Oh, in San Jose he was, man. Look at his numbers.
He was the third guy playing the bulk of the games in the AHL?
No, not in the AHL, no.
That's where David Riddick has been.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. You didn't like my Blues pick either. Look at the Blues. So we'll
pump the brakes. I still don't like your Blues pick.
Why? Who do you like better than that? You like Nashville way better?
No, I don't like anyone to be the eighth seed. In fact, if you put a gun to my head today and said you have to pick a team that's going to be the eighth seed, I would bet on Seattle.
What?
Hmm.
Why?
Why? Because I think all those other teams are going to sell off.
Well, why wouldn't Seattle sell off?
Why would they? They're just methodically building. How much is there to really sell?
Yeah, I don't know. They're like, by points percentage and points, they're in 11th place. Like, I don't see Seattle at all being like, they're 7 wins behind the Blues right now. I don't see them at all as the team that's going to go there. I don't think they're that good.
I don't think they're that good either. You're making my point for me. I don't think the Blues are that good.
Well, I just said the Blues are going to make the playoffs. I didn't say the Blues are going to go in and become Florida Panthers and upset people. I said they make the playoffs.
Okay. I still think the Blues, I think Doug Armstrong is this deadline's biggest wild card, and I think he could be up to just about anything.
Yeah, I wonder what his thought process is with his group now that they made their coaching change and their teams responded to it, right? Doesn't mean that Craig Berube's a bad coach. Just means that they've responded to the coaching change. There's been some differences in deployment of players and different things like that. And, you know, like they walked in and absolutely spanked Montreal. And Jake Allen yesterday did not look good in goal for Montreal.
You're Frank. Saying he didn't help the old trade stock?
Well, and that's like he's got a year left at $3.8 million. Like,
yeah, I think the Habs were ready and willing to retain, are ready and willing to retain.
Sure. But Allen. Look at his numbers. So I crunched the numbers on Jake Allen. Like he's got an 8, and now it's probably even below it because I did it on Saturday. He's got like an 894, 893 save percentage. He's got a goals against the 3.5. Like, why is he, other than name, why would a team think, hey, this is the guy that we're going to, like people suggesting Edmonton should look at him. I'm like, what? Like, it makes no sense. Like people, like Marc-Andre Fleury, if there's a goalie you'd be interested in, it would be him. But that's it. Like Jake
Allen's numbers are the same as Jake Allen's.
A little bit better, right? He's got a save percentage above 9. His goals against is quite a bit lower.
Also played on a much better team. Like these things cannot.
I looked at Jake Allen's expected save and everything. Like it's not, and he hasn't played very many games either, right? I'm not sold that Jake Allen's the answer to any team's goaltending concerns.
I think he's got a pretty good track record of being really consistent. I mean, think about how bad that team has been in Montreal. The first 350 games of his career, 9.11 save percentage. That's a long time to be playing really good hockey.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't think Jake Allen just woke up this year and is no good. Look at that Montreal defense corps.
Oh, I get it. But like, why is his number so worse than Sam Montembeau? Is Montembeau that much better?
Yes, he is. And he's played really well.
Yeah.
And he's got a fresh new extension. And he's the Habs goaltender of the present and future.
Yeah.
His numbers this year alone are 908. It's light years better.
Yeah, I'm still not sold that Jake Allen right now is your answer to all your goaltending woes. He might have a better track record, but you come in, A, he's going to have to get comfortable. B, if he's not going to play lots, how's he going to get comfortable? So I could be wrong. Goaltending can switch. It's voodoo. I get it, but.
Yeah, what's down is up.
So I'm not sold that it's, you know, and he has a year left. And I guess they can retain. So it's, and I know that they didn't retain any in Monahan. So they've got all the three retention spots. So that all makes sense. I get it. But, you know, I guess if you get him for 1.9, but still he's 1.9. Like, man, what do you got to get, give up to get him? So I, I'm curious. Now, speaking of trades, Frank, I know they're at Calgary Flames. Hey, they have a chance to sweep the road trip. Great for them. They played very well. Kuzmenko's come in since the trade, but I don't think for a second this is changing Craig Conroy's viewpoint on what his team needs to do with his penalty.
I don't either. How could it? I mean, I think you have to take the emotion out of it and have to look big picture. And I think the easiest way to explain, and this is, I'm not saying how I feel is what the Flames feel, but this is my personal philosophy when it comes to team building is, there's only one existential question to ask. Are you a threat? Are you a threat to win the Stanley Cup? And if the answer is no, then you need to re-engineer your team until you can answer yes. And everyone's got a different answer as to how big that circle is. How many teams do you include? We had this discussion all year long. I started with 9 or 10. Your number, I think, was 11. Authentic chances to win. And as the year goes on, that number shrinks, right? You know, for me, it's kind of down to like 7. It might even be 5. But the point is, the Flames existentially are not in that conversation and aren't really close. They're not knocking on the door of it. What they're knocking on the door of is a fringe playoff spot and, to quote their last coach, a waste of 8 days. So to me, you can't be swayed by winning 4 in a row, as great as that feels. And I don't think they are. I think Craig Conroy and his staff have a long view, a long approach on this, as they should, to really get this right. You're building for sustainability. You're not building for, well, hey, let's roll the dice and see if we can be the Florida Panthers from last year. We've talked a lot about how that's an absolute fallacy.
Yeah, no, it's true. Like I look
Panthers at 122 points the year before. They weren't a shit eighth seed.
No, not at all. I think like Tanev and like Hanifin's obviously the I guess if there's a chance that you could resign him, well, then you'd want to resign him because it's hard to find very good defensemen, right? So I get the Hanifin one and why it might go down to the wire, but you know, Chris Tanev, you know, you already traded Lindholm. If you can get a good deal now, I don't think you have to wait till the deadline, right?
No, I think what they're waiting for is to see if someone steps up with a package to take multiple pieces in which they could get more with Hanifin being, or with Tanev being part of it. That's really what, why I think is my understanding why they've gotten to this point.
So are you talking a team that would take both Hanifin and Tanev or
Tanev and another player? Yep.
Okay.
There's the potential for both. And my thing is, for me, it's kind of black and white when it comes to Hanifin. And maybe this is like, you never want to be dead right, if this makes any sense. But my thought process is, we've given you everything you asked for. You asked for $60 million. We put it on the table. You got cold feet. We're waiting at the end of the aisle. What's going on here? And once you do that one time and it lingers for this long, I get the idea of having the security blanket of, oh man, it'd be really nice to have Hanifin in the fold for the next 8 years. He skates well. He's probably going to age pretty well. All those things. He's gotten better and better as he's matured and found his best game. But I'd hate to be a year and a half in and he comes to you and says, you know, I told you last summer now that I my preference was to play in the U.S. at the end of the day. He signs the deal, and then 18 months in, when your team is kind of scuffling because you're trying to redo this, he says, I'd like to be moved. Like, that's the worst case scenario, and I think that's what the Flames should try and avoid at all costs, which, to me, I would have yanked. It would not be a still standing offer. You didn't sign it. That's on you. And here are my terms now, if you'd like to play for us. And if not, I have no issue trading you. Look at the deals that I've gotten already for Lindholm, for Zadorov, for Toffoli. I can get a great return for Noah Hanifin. I've got the premier rental defenseman available. I just wouldn't be held over a barrel, and I don't think Craig Conroy is.
That's fair. Like the guys, you mentioned they got younger, and you know, so that's obviously only a few games, but Kuzmenko's come in and scored, and obviously Sharon Govich has performed very well, as has Toffoli in New Jersey. That's been a trade that's kind of worked out for both teams to this point, except the Flames obviously have him for longer term, one more year, and he's a little bit younger. So it is like the thing about the Flames is they're playing better here, and it's their young guys that are contributing, right? Like,
but that's what's exciting.
Yeah, like I don't think Calgary is going to be a rebuild. I think they're going to be a retool, right? Like I think, you know, what the Flames would love to do is somehow, now I don't know if they can go out and get a free agent like Panarin. That's obviously difficult. But remember, they lucked out and won the lottery, Frank, right? And moved up. And I know that Kaapo Kakko hasn't necessarily panned out to be a great player, but you know what? They got some draft picks very short term and got to be competitive again. And you know, they've got Wolves.
This is a great draft for that. This is a great draft to have multiple pieces, because my understanding is, there's a clear number one pick in Macklin Celebrini. But after that, like you, this could be like some other years where you're getting great players at 13, 17, 19, whatever it might be. You draft correctly, you're going to be in really good shape.
Yeah. So that's where I see. And I could understand if Calgary would, you know, be thinking, hey, if we get Noah Hanifin here, now that keeps our defense. We got him and Rasmus Anderson as kind of our pillars of our blue line. We build out behind him. We think we got a really good young goalie coming in, Wolf. We like some of our young forwards. The retooling process would be easier, because now maybe they're able to get a really good player back for Hanifin. And if they can, well, that obviously changes it. But if it's just prospects,
they got a really good player as not a throw in, but. I really like the Kuzmenko addition.
No, I'm saying, he's a good player. I agree with you.
I think that was incredibly smart, and I think they'd be wise to either package up some of their pieces to get another impact player or do it at the draft.
Yeah.
To help make it be a retool, not a rebuild. You need some stuff to help push that along, right?
At the draft, you're talking Markstrom then? Because if Hanifin's gone and Tanev's gone, I'm not sure they have any other big piece to move, right, other than Markstrom?
Yeah, I mean, depending on who the player is, like you could probably get something pretty good for Rasmus Anderson too.
Yeah, pretty good cap it, man. Like, I wonder...
I was just thinking out loud, like, and I don't... There's tons of other comparable draft classes, but... Think back to, like, it just got me thinking because we were talking Hanifin. Think back to that 2015 draft. Like, you had the two guys at the top, McDavid and Eichel, but then all over the place, you know, you have, you know, Mitch Marner was at 4, you had Hanifin 5, but then you had Werenski, Timo Meier, Rantanen at 10, Jake DeBrusk, pretty good player at 14, Kyle Connor 17, Barzal 16, Thomas Chabot 18, Eriksson Ek 20. Brock Besser 23, Travis Konechny 25. Like, those are all good finds, great finds.
Sebastian Aho was 35 that year. Brandon Carlo 37. Yeah, no, that was a deep draft.
Yep.
Yeah. Eric Cernak, hell of a pick, 43rd. So, yeah, no, that was a deep draft where you got lots of teams, got guys outside just the top 10, which is, you know, lots of talking to Craig Button, a few other guys. That's what they think this draft could be like. So, we shall see. Let's bring in Tyler Yaremchuk to the program. Ty, how you doing?
I'm doing good, gentlemen. I did not have the foresight to look up a player to throw or another player to throw a touchdown, a non-quarterback, Greg. So that is a fantastic prop bet by you in the Super Bowl. So our friends at Botano had it all covered. I got a couple of Botano themed questions today.
Did you go with the Gatorade? The purple?
Yeah,
Gatorade?
Purple.
I didn't have purple. Yeah, I went clear.
Well, the Chiefs had purple last year, so that's why I thought they'd win. I thought they'd stick with, like, why would you change your Gatorade color? That'd make no sense to
me. So clear, you were thinking, like, could just be water?
Yeah, that was my thinking.
Ooh, man, maybe. I remember growing up, I don't think they have the flavor anymore. Gatorade Forever had the lemon ice.
Ooh.
And it was in a glass bottle, if you remember back in the day with Gatorade when it first came out. This is pre-Tyler, obviously. Yeah. And lemon ice, man. What a treat. You go to the...
What color was it?
It was totally clear.
Oh.
And it was just a really refreshing lemon flavor. I used to get it all the time as a kid.
I'm sure there's a couple of people going in.
Go with the old man in our Ford Bronco over to the local Wawa. Sit in the old front seat of the Ford Bronco. Get a lemon ice.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a couple people going into work today a little hungover. So maybe you want a DoorDash for lunch. You're going to need something a little greasy. Maybe DoorDash in a Gatorade. You can use the promo code NATION25. Our Canadian listeners get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more with that promo code up at the top of your screen. Last week on Buy or Sell, I asked you guys how many first round picks you could see being dealt. I have a follow up to that in fill in the blank, and it is this. A team that is a lock to trade their first round pick is blank, Frank.
A lock.
Ooh.
That's a tough one.
I think the Oilers.
Interesting.
I'm not sold on the Stars. I think they're more aggressive than we realize, but I also think they really like their team. And I would think the Avs, but they've got a couple holes to fill. Second line center and goalie. So my vote would be Oilers 1, Avs 2, Golden Knights 3, Rangers 4.
All right. Craig's.
Well, I'm not gonna change the rules. I'll just give one, and I'm gonna go with the Dallas Stars.
I don't hate that either. They're sneaking. One of those teams. I mean, a lot of people talk about the Jets, obviously in the Central. The Avs get a lot of buzz, but Dallas is right there. And when you look at the betting odds, Dallas is definitely right there as well. Which it ties into my next one. We're going to Betano and the betting odds, but I want to know about the Eastern Conference, Frank. Last week when I said the Bruins are running away with the East, and then you pointed out, you're like, no, man, the Panthers. And I looked, it's way closer than I had thought. Who do you think wins the East? The Bruins are favored right now in Betano at about plus 150. The Panthers coming in right behind them at about plus 200. The team that will win the East in the regular season is blank, Jason.
It's a good question. I'm going to go with the Panthers. I think they've been just gradually gaining ground, and it's hard because Boston is not going away by any stretch of the imagination. But I think Florida ultimately will squeeze out and finish in first. Not by a lot, but I think they'll get first.
I'm going to go with a somewhat surprise. I'm going to say New York Rangers. They've won four in a row. I think it's only a matter of time until Shesterkin figures it out. And I like their team, and I really like their defense core. And I think that they're going to add. I do think they're going to trade their first round pick.
Just add them to the list. All right. Similar question for the West. The Vancouver Canucks, they are the runaway favorites to win the Pacific Division right now at minus 200. But the books are also putting them at minus odds to win the West in the regular season. Implied odds of about 56% right now. So I want to ask you guys, the Canucks have a blank percent chance of winning the West and likely winning the President's Trophy with that, but a blank percent chance of winning the West, Frank.
I'd say it's closer to 35 or 40%.
Okay.
The math is pretty strongly in their favor, but it's hard. It's hard to close it out. It's hard to kind of go basically what you'd be looking at with them since opening night. It'd be more or less wire to wire.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was going to wrap with was it'd be impressive the way they've just started hot. And if they can finish this off, it'd be quite the season. Jay, what do you say?
Just absolutely percent curb chance? Stomp the Oilers on night one and just roll all the way through.
Set the tone.
I think the reason why they're going to finish first is from March 9th until the end of the month, they don't leave home. They have a 9-game homestand, which is almost unheard of. And prior to that, they got some games against some of the bottom teams. So I think I'm going to give them a pretty high percentage. I'm going to give them like a 73% chance to win the West.
Greg's going higher than the books. Frank going a little bit lower than the books as well. You mentioned their homestand. It also helps straight up this year. They're 18-6 on home ice, which is just unbelievable. Been a great year for the Canucks. They got an OT win over the Caps on the weekend as well. That is a wrap on this week's edition of Fill in the Blank. Boys, delivered by DoorDash.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yeah, points in 20 out of 24 at home for the Canucks.
Yeah, and the thing is, Rick Tocchet, I don't see, they have a bad period, and Rick Tocchet is just, he's not afraid to say, hey, boys, let's keep our eye here. Let's keep focused. And I think that helps that team.
With all due respect to the way the Flyers have overachieved, if Rick Tocchet doesn't win the Jack Adams Award this year, we should just not give it out anymore.
Yeah, it'd be a surprise to me if he isn't the runaway. Tortorella, though, give the Flyers a lot of credit, right? Like I can see why some would lean towards it, because Tocchet came in last year, right? Kind of got his fingerprints on that team. And if you look at Vancouver's record, I think they're the fifth best team after Tocchet took over. So, he kind of got him playing the right direction there and just carried over. But I'd agree, it's different to do it in off season and everything like that. He's changed a lot of their culture there. And, Tortorella's always had teams play hard. So it's not necessarily a surprise that's happening. You know, they probably overachieved, I think, for sure. And we haven't talked about them, Frank. Now, John Tortorella did come out publicly and say, hey, come the trade deadline, there might be some guys that move that people don't think, but we want to stay on the plan. Do you think there's any chance that changes? Do they?
No.
So they're like moving out all those guys that they can?
Not all of them. I think they really like Nick Seeler, and I think they are still talking to try and get a deal done. I don't think they're... I don't think they're going to swing super big and make a Konechny type transaction. Although I think their preference is to really get him extended as soon as this summer when he's first eligible. But I do think they move Sean Walker. I think there's a pretty good chance, I'd say better than 50% chance, that they move Scott Laughton. It's not that much higher than that, but it's, 55% probably, shading toward him likely being gone. And then reassess. Like, you have to stick with the mission and mandate. Again, it's one existential question and one only. Are you a threat? And no one has the Flyers in that category.
No.
No one has them even close.
No. So, yeah, I would be surprised if they didn't stick to the plan. If I was Nick Seeler, like, sometimes there's just good fits for you in a team. And I know he's had a very good year there, but he could get traded somewhere else and not have success. And then people look and say, oh, we're not going to give him the ticket. This might be the best time for him to negotiate and just sign a contract before the deadline.
Oh, for him and his career. I mean, I don't think most people realize that Nick Seeler is actually on a two-way contract this year.
Yeah, I know.
He could, if he was in the AHL, he'd be making less than half of what he is now. His AHL pay this year was $350,000.
Yeah.
So he's made $3.4 million in his career. If he can sign an extension, you take it now, even though the market should be good to him this summer. And you can stay in a place where you fit. Don't bleep with happy. I say that all the time.
Yeah, the grass is not always greener, for sure, is something that I would avoid. Frank, I'm going to get in this week and see what happens on the Wendy's daily.
Oh, you think you're just going to come in and run the table, don't you?
No, not run the table. My goal is just, like I said, just beat Frank. So, and no offense, doesn't seem like that's going to be that difficult. So go to dailyfaceoff.com.
I would combat you, but you're not wrong.
The Wendy's Survivor. Yeah, I'm just using your words, not mine. For any of our listeners, sign up now just to see. As Frank says, it's not as easy as it looks. And but guess what? You just get on a little bit of a run. You can get on a heater, and you never know. You can get. You could be a really good trade deadline acquisition for yourself.
We only had one person survive the double week. 463 players last time. It wrapped around All-Star. One person out of 463 made it to the end. Just one. So shout out to Blondie HPSD, whatever. There's a lot going on in that username, but shout out to Blondie.
Blondie. Well, there you go. One out of 463. I like it. So go to dailyfaceoff.com and just see if you can beat Frank. And he'll look at his picks. And I'm going to have to tell you who he is. That's unfair. And we will find out on Thursday if the Frank man is still in. And is this going to be a quiet week of trades, Frank? And what is your bold prediction on Morgan Riley's suspension?
I'm going to say Riley 5 games, and I will say yes, between now and Sunday, we will have a trade. So this week.
Now and Sunday. All right. I would tend to agree with you on both accounts. I think
Tanev for me is the guy. I think the longer they go on playing him, the more they risk not getting anything in return. Yeah,
and then you factor in the Morgan Riley suspension, Frank, a team that needs a defenseman. Maybe this is the week that speeds that up.
Maybe.
We'll see. Awesome. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the DFO Rundown with Saravalli and Gregor. Keep it locked on dailyfaceoff.com and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
All right, hockey fans, listen up because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with 4 questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount, and that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first, and you're going to want to be careful because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.